Thompson and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
We are back. Hour two. Things are just rolling along. Thank you, Dave Revson. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So happy to be here with you guys on a Friday on a huge sports day.
If you like what we do here, we have a podcast called View from the Cheap Seats. We also have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. If you go to patreon.com/Sklar Brothers.
You can find us. We're doing new episodes of our old show, Cheap Seats, for the first time in 15 years. Putting new episodes together. We just shot two of them yesterday. One of them's a high dive competition. The diving board, it was so high.
It was so high.
It was the diving board. It was higher than Snoop Dogg in Denver.
It was higher than Doug Benson at Burning Man. It was higher than the prices at Whole Foods.
So fantastic. So much fun. So check that out. I want to talk NBA because the draft was last night. Trades are huge. Who do we bring in? How about senior NBA writer for NBC Sports? He's amazing every time he's on. Kurt Heelan joins us now. Kurt, big night last night, and there's so many questions I have for you. What was your overall about the draft and the trades and all this stuff? Are you excited about what is about to happen in the shifting in the NBA?
I am, because I think it left as many questions as it did answers.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the fun part of it.
It's right.
Like, oh, wow, Russell Westbrook changed teams to the Lakers. How much better does that make them
exactly.
in the playoffs? Like, there's a lot of questions
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. Kurt, I'm saying to myself, and if we have to have this discussion, it's like not – it's to borrow a basketball phrase, it is not a slam dunk.
No.
To me
– ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie. It's like a Giannis free throw. It could be good, but maybe it's not going to be good. I don't know. You know, that was a bit of a head scratcher. Obviously, for Russell Westbrook to get home to the Lakers, it always felt like he was going to try and get home to Southern California. But how does he make that team better when he hasn't made any team better that he's been on?
In the short term and in the regular season, I think he certainly solved some problems. Like, they desperately need secondary shot creation, right? Like, they right. wanted someone to help out LeBron James. That was what Dennis Schroeder was supposed to do.
That's right.
The only guy who's done it was Rondo in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, nobody's really filled that role well. Mm-hmm. Westbrook can. Look, Westbrook's going to create shots. He's going to create opportunities. And if knock on wood, this doesn't happen, but if LeBron or Anthony Davis have to miss some time.
Or load management. Load
yeah, exactly.
For load management,
you've got somebody, but I was telling Laker fans, friends of mine, you know, I'm based in Southern California. But Laker right. fan friends are all like, "This is great." I'm like, think back 2 years to when you guys played the Rockets in the bubble in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What was the strategy?
Yeah,
double Harden, get the ball out of his hands. Don't let him beat you. Don't cover Westbrook.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let him shoot all the shots he wants to take, and he'll want to take all of them.
Exactly. He is a career 40% shooter in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and below 30% from three. You can help off him in the postseason. He has defensive lapses.
Right.
In the playoffs, I think it's a real issue, especially second round and beyond, which is what the Lakers are thinking about. I think it's a real issue. We'll see how they round up the roster. Maybe they can get some shooting on the cheap and all that. But
yeah, they're going to have
to. I'm not sold.
I mean, for me, I was saying, is this the moment where LeBron shapes a guy? I mean, is this his chance to say, okay, for my legacy, I need you to be this. Just do this for me.
I'd like to think that. It worked so well with Kyrie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. I think that's the unknown is, A, LeBron's ability to control the locker room and get guys to play a certain way. But the other thing is just simply, if LeBron and Anthony Davis are close to 100% healthy, Lakers are contenders.
They're great,
for sure.
It's the best duo.
They're going to be in the mix.
Right.
It's really that simple. Westbrook coming or going doesn't change anything. If those two guys are playing at an elite level, they can hang with anyone.
So here's my question, because I want to get into this with you, because Dame Lillard, to me, seems like he is at the Kevin Garnett in Minnesota yep. point, where he's done all that he can do with what he can do. And that team is just in the pecking order. Portland is not a bad team. Look, didn't they make it to the conference semifinals in the bubble? So you're saying to yourself, they're not a bad team, but they're behind Golden State when Golden State's healthy. They're behind Utah. They're behind Denver. They're behind the Clippers if they're healthy. They're behind the Lakers. They're behind Phoenix now. he's got to go somewhere if he wants to win a championship. Where does he go?
When does he go to the Lakers?
Or when does he go to the Lakers? Or when does he go to Utah and a backcourt with him and Donovan Mitchell? Like, don't you want to see Dame in a big game when it counts with the ball literally shooting from
50 feet? Not in the Olympics.
Not in the Olympics, shooting from 50 feet out to win a game like that. That guy deserves a big shot moment.
You are the first people ever to say, you know, he wants to go to Utah.
And I'm like, nobody's ever said that.
No, because it's not happening.
Mormons don't even say that anymore.
No.
No, he also doesn't want to be that guy, that superstar, that guy who pushes his way out and around it. I think
he doesn't.
He's walking a tightrope that's just almost impossible to walk. You can't be the nice guy who forces his way out. If you're going to force your way out, you need to go Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, man. Just
right,
get
right.
your butt out of there, right? Like, make it so ugly they can't keep you. And I think the Garnett example is perfectly that. And by the way, what did Garnett say now? It's to this day, we'll say.
I wish I would have gotten early. I should have gotten out earlier.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
I think he's there. Where he goes gets really interesting. I think Philly is fascinating.
Yeah.
Just because they have, they're contenders. He goes great with Joel Embiid, but how does Neil Olshey and the Portland people feel about
Ben Simmons?
Like, that's the core of any trade. Bradley Beal made some sense there, kind of in Philadelphia for the same way. Like, he could plug right in. Lillard absolutely plugs right in anywhere and makes them better. That's the most interesting one, but Miami would absolutely be in the mix, and they've got Tyler Hero and shooters and picks and stuff, and everybody wants to play in Miami. And by the way, Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Lillard.
That's a great big three. Hell of a, yeah.
Those are the two I hear, but it's all kind of moot. There's a lot of like positioning and posturing, but until Lillard throws the hammer down, and I don't think it'll happen before the season, by the way. I think he starts the season
in Portland.
The Trailblazer. I think he, at the trade deadline by next summer, it's a different story.
Right.
But I think he starts the season in Phoenix. Philadelphia. Phoenix would be interesting.
In Portland,
We'll go with Portland. Yeah.
One of the P cities, for Christ's sake.
Peoria. Let's talk about the draft. Who do you think came out with, who do you think did very well, and then we'll get to the flip side of who botched it last night?
There's a few teams I thought did well. I mean, obviously it's easy to say, hey, Detroit did well. They got the number one pick, and then they took the guy who should be the number one pick.
Right. They didn't screw it up. That's very Detroit thing to screw that up, and they didn't screw it up. So there you go.
Right. Exactly. But I think the bigger, like, if you're looking for teams, I thought it was great for Orlando.
Yeah.
Look, Jalen Suggs falls to them. I'm less sold on Scottie Barnes than everyone else. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that pans out. He shot up draft boards. Somebody's seeing something I don't, but I am not a scout. I'm not going to pretend to be. So whatever happens there happens.
Yeah.
Jalen Suggs can play. He is aggressive. He is attacking. And what I loved about them, by the way, they got some other guys now. You know, they've already got Jonathan Isaac. They've got like some nice players there. Now you've got a lead point guard. But what I like is
Franz.
They have Markelle Fultz, and they drafted Cole Anthony last year. And you know what they said? Hey, we're going to take the best player.
We're going to take
this guy, and I don't care if we've got other people in the position. We're not going to do. You know, we don't need Luka Doncic. We have De'Aaron Fox. Don't do that. Take the best player on the board.
That's how it pans out.
If you have too many good point guards, you can solve that problem.
You ship them somewhere else and get what you need in the other return. Yeah, absolutely. I think they did a really good.
Got defense too last night. Yeah. Orlando did in a big way.
I think they got defense, and Jonathan Isaac, who will come back from his ACL and hopefully be back to himself, is an elite defensive player. I think that this is a team that you can start to see what the identity is. I also thought Houston was the same way. Like, I think they're interesting. I think with Jalen Green and now, you know, they get Christian Wood back. Mm-hmm. They drafted a bunch of guys in the, you know, against Sengun and some other guys. They're not going to be good next year, but they're interesting.
They're interesting, and they're building something. I think just people and fan bases want to know, what is your plan? What is your plan to move forward? Like, it feels like Orlando has a plan. When was the last time we said that? They've got a plan to move forward. Again, you look at I look at the way Milwaukee built their championship team, and it's interesting. It's different than Brooklyn. It's different than what the Lakers just did. They're like, we're going to build it around one guy. We're going to give him the pieces around him to make this work. It's fascinating. It's a wonderful model, especially for small market teams. I mean, you look at an Evan Mobley, I'm like, Cleveland, good on you. You guys might have the guy. Like, go call Giannis's trainer and put 40 pounds on this kid, and let's see what he can do.
You know, and they've got – this is another team that made the smart move. I'm going to take the best player on the board and the guy who can pan out. They've got Jared Allen, and they're going to have to pay him this year.
Yeah.
You know, pay him. Pay Jared Allen, because if you have too many good – you know, then you trade one of them.
That's
you
right.
You trade Jared Allen in 2 years if Mobley pans out.
Right.
And there'll be plenty of teams that want him. Cleveland is – they've got a little farther to go, and I may trust ownership there less.
Yes. Really? What would give you that? It's like only the Knicks are less trustworthy in terms of ownership.
I don't know. The Rockets try.
Yeah.
So but we'll see what it looks like in a couple of years. But again, I'm with you. I think that, hey, take the best guy on the board and see how it pans out. And Mobley in a couple of years, big men take longer to develop, so we'll see. But in a couple of years, he's got all the tools to be exactly what you want. I know everybody kind of used the Chris Bosh analogy, but I kind of like it. Like, he could be that kind of inside-outside five.
He definitely could. And he's, you know, lefty. He's got
future of what the center position will look like in the NBA in many ways.
In a lot of ways, you look at a guy like that and you say, oh, I see why you went into the draft now and why Hunter Dickinson went back to college. Because he doesn't have that game yet.
Exactly. He fits really, you know... I love Luka Garza. He's, you know, he's not long for the NBA. Like,
no.
He'll have a lovely career in Europe and make nice money and live a fun life. But like, Mobley is what the NBA future at the five is going to look like, unless you're Embiid and have that kind of size and athleticism and skill. And there's not a lot of those.
It's so interesting.
I want to know who you thought really didn't do a great job last night. Who kind of dropped the ball.
There's a few. I mean, a lot of this is, well, that's not what I would have done, so like, maybe I'm wrong in 3 years. But that said, what were the Kings doing? Like, hey, we've got the backcourt of the future, and they drafted a point guard at higher than anybody else had them, rather than taking Boak Knight of the wing. You know, I don't know what the plan is. And I, like, this wasn't a case where, oh, they've got two point guards. We really got to grab that really great player who fell to us. No.
It's not Jalen Suggs. Like, it's not you're not getting Jalen Suggs at nine is what you're saying.
Exactly. So I don't know. I just don't understand what the plan is there, what kind of roster they're trying to build. I mean, there were – maybe they had him higher – again, maybe they had him higher rated. I just, once again, am confounded as to what the plan is in Sacramento. They get the number nine pick and they use it on a position. Well, that guy's just – I don't – where's he going to get minutes?
Yeah.
But they've already got Tyrese Halliburton. They've already got
a good guard.
I don't get it. So that was the one where I'm just left head scratching. But, you know, I write a winners and losers column that's about to come out. We do it every year.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to have a permanent Sacramento Kings one there.
Yeah.
Every year I'm like, what are they doing?
Right. And they do have some talent up there, which is just it's like you just got to get the right pieces. It's funny because we were thinking about, you know, I'm thinking about players that could have potentially, instead of Russell Westbrook, who could have come to the Lakers, I think of like a Buddy Hield to the Lakers. Yeah. Think about how much sense that would have made. And again, it's everything that you just said about a while ago about if LeBron is healthy and AD is healthy, they are amazing. But you add a shooter like Buddy Hield to that mix, think about how much better that of a fit that would have been.
That was a deal that was very close to done. I imagine Buddy Hield is... Buddy Hield had to drown some pain last night. That was very close to done.
Yep.
Until Westbrook inserted himself into the conversation and said, "Hey, I want out, and I'd prefer to go to L.A."
Right.
And the Lakers, look, they've always star hunted. They've always found a way to make it work. So we'll see. But I'm with you, Buddy Hield. For all Buddy Hield's flaws, Buddy Hield can shoot the rock.
Yes.
And can do some secondary shot creation. And the issues about him not focusing on defense, well, you got that with Westbrook anyway. And your concerns about him falling in line, well, it's a LeBron team.
He will fall in line. He would have fallen.
I just think you could have made Buddy Hield, I'm with you on the fit. Like, that is That is the kind of guy they can get. And by the way, that's not somebody they're going to get. I know there's Laker fans. You were not getting him in a sign and trade. We just talked about all the point guards they have in Sacramento. They're not sign and trading you for Dennis Schroeder to add to the mix.
No. Exactly. No.
You're not. You're talking now about a three-team sign and trade, and good luck with that.
Good luck.
That's the thousand-piece white puzzle. Have fun with that.
Good luck, and it's all sky, and you don't know where all the pieces are. Exactly. We're talking to Kurt Heelan, senior and NBA writer for NBC Sports. Kurt, I have a question for you now as we look at like a guy like Chris Middleton coming from the second round. Who from the second round last night, and it is so hard to predict who is going to be, who could be that guy.
I mean, obviously, we as Michigan grads, we watched Isaiah Livers through his whole career. He's fighting through injuries, but that could be, if he turns out to be Tobias Harris, then look what the Pistons did.
Yeah, it's funny. I just had him, I was in the winners and losers column, like, I like that pickup.
Yeah.
You know, in the second round gamble, man, you know what the best skill is? Shooting.
Yeah.
If you can shoot the rock, you have absolute value in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And Livers can shoot. He can shoot. And how much the rest of his game comes around, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's 6'7 off the top of my head. Like he's a
six,
tall
seven,
guy who
six,
can shoot.
Eight, yeah.
There's always value in tall guys who can shoot. You can find ways to make the rest of everything work if he can put the ball in the basket. And on a Pistons team now, you know, with Cade Cunningham dishing and some of the, like, you could see him stepping into a role there. So that's funny you said that, because that was like the first name that popped in my head when you said it.
So there may be those sort of diamond in the rough guys, or guys who had great college careers that their fan bases know about. But
who's the kid from LSU? Cam Thomas?
Yeah, Cam Thomas is kind of interesting. Didn't he go late first, or was it early second?
I think late first.
But I think Cam Thomas is an interesting
big guard.
He's an interesting fit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of who came in early in the second that you know who I kind of like. The Knicks picked up Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Yeah.
You know, everybody who comes out of Villanova can just play.
That's
everybody who comes out of that system, you're like, oh, that totally works. That guy finds a way to make it work. Yeah. I'm with you. Cameron Thomas, I'm surprised he fell that far. The Nets picked him up at 27, mm-hmm. just so we're clear.
Yeah.
By the way, guy just knows how to get buckets.
That's
He's gonna
right.
tear up summer league.
he will.
His mid-range runner game, forget it. You know, like that's a shot that you can make. He's big, and that's a shot that you can shoot over dudes in the NBA.
Yeah. Exactly. Six, a little bit of a tall guard, but he's heavy isolation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who likes the ball in isolation, and that makes him, you know, more of a microwave scorer off the bench,
right.
a Lou Williams,
right,
Jamal
right.
Crawford kind of guy.
There's a role for those guys.
There's a role for those guys. The Nets pick him up, and they certainly need depth. And like I said, I think he'll be fun to watch. And there's looking at the rest of that roster in Brooklyn. There's not going to be guys going, you know, stop playing so much isolation basketball.
Right,
you know, like that's a whole team of isolation guys when they want to be. So it'll be interesting. You know, Kyrie will yell at him, but that's.
Kyrie.
Kyrie's yelling at his own shoes.
Yeah, Kyrie is, and we'll get into that later. Kyrie believes the earth is flat, so can we really listen to what he's saying?
I hear the shoes are trash from people who know.
From insiders. Can't tell you who, anonymous insiders saying that they're trash. We'll get into that later. Last question. Best big three. If we're going to say, who do you like better as a big three? Do you think that the Brooklyn Nets big three or the Lakers sort of quote unquote now with Russ big three? Who's better? Who do you like
in
better?
This moment?
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming Brooklyn's healthy, we're talking about. I was joking with somebody last night. I'm like, you know, I can't wait to see how free agency shakes out so I can pick Brooklyn to win it all.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
At the end of the day, Kevin Durant looked like. He hasn't looked like it in Tokyo yet, but Kevin Durant in the playoffs looked like the best player on the planet again.
Yeah.
Like, and if he's playing at that level and Harden is Harden and Kyrie is there, I think that big three is going to find a way with some veteran role, you know, Blake Griffin-y guys around them.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out, man. They'll figure it out. That's the team to beat until proven otherwise. The Lakers and Brooklyn's, Milwaukee's not going anywhere. There's other teams in the conversation, but it's Brooklyn.
There you go. Kurt Heelan, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you. Appreciate your insights. And everybody check out the up-and-coming winners and losers column, which you can check out. Kurt, thanks so much.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's take a break.
Love the convo.
So good.
Kurt Heelan.
That Kurt Heelan. He's great. He's good people. Good people, quality writing. We'll be back. We got two takes coming up in this hour. In the top of next hour, Gar Reinness, the batting stance guy, in studio. We're going to talk about Giannis has got a new book coming out.
He does.
Lots of great and juicy details. We're going to talk about that.
I wanted to take a think of it came back.
Plus a Space Jam mural that got defamed.
Come on.
It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. These are Fleet Foxes. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Question for you, and this is truthful, and this is for the TV audience. When are you due back at Trader Joe's for a shift?
Listen, those shelves don't stock themselves.
How many times? If you were to stop by a Trader Joe's right now, I guarantee you people would walk up to you and be like,
"Hey, where are the Joe's?
How come you guys don't sell those almonds that have toffee on them anymore?"
And I'm like, "I don't work here." And then enough people come up to me and say, "Like, hey, how come you guys don't sell those half pop popcorn kernels?" Like, enough people come up to me when I'm wearing this shirt at a Trader Joe's shopping that finally I'm just like, they stuck in people's teeth, and there were too many lawsuits. I just start making stuff up.
Why not?
Just to. I'm like spewing out. I can't even do it. Sklar Brothers back, filling in for Jim Rome. Midpoint of the show. Very
hey,
excited.
If you like what we do here, we mentioned this before. We have a podcast view from the cheap seats. We have a new Patreon, Sklar Brothers.
First time.
Patreon.com/Sklar Brothers.
Cheap Seats episodes. New Cheap Seats episodes are coming out. You can join the Patreon page and be a
very
part of that.
Simple. Very
Speaking
easy.
Of new stuff coming out, there's a new Giannis book.
It's called I Won't Watch the U.S. versus Iran in Basketball Because I Don't Want to Pay for the Peacock Channel.
What?
No, that's not what it's called.
That's a long
title. That's
not
what it's called. But did you see that?
Yeah.
Giannis refused to buy Peacock, that streaming service. Why?
Too pricey. Too pricey for Giannis?
You went to Chick-fil-A with the trophies in the car and you bought a 50-piecer.
Did you see that? That was an unbelievable TikTok because he's got the trophies in his lap and whoever was with him, his wife, his girlfriend, whoever, he was like, she's like, you got the trophies with you. He's like, I got the trophies with me.
Because I had to make sure it wasn't a dream.
What if I wake up and it's all a dream? It makes you love Giannis so much. He's the most badass dude ever, and yet he's saying to himself, what if I wake up and this isn't true? I got to hold these trophies with me when I go to Chick-fil-A and order 50 piece. He orders a 50 piece. Why? Because he scored 50. Why? Because it was 50 years since Milwaukee had won a title. I love this dude.
So apparently he tweeted out, this is before U.S. beat Iran, what time's the U.S. team playing tonight and which channel? Tweeted it out.
Yeah.
That's his channel guide. Just tweeting stuff out. It. Tell me what it is. That's his Google.
Giannis has got to have an assistant he can ask this to.
Like, he could probably just tweet out, hey, what do wasps eat?
And someone...
He'll get answers.
Wood. They eat splinters.
He's crowdsourcing his Google searches.
Dude, that is amazing. Isn't there an equipment manager at the Bucks?
Someone's got to be on his staff.
Yeah, someone...
So he tweeted out, and someone tweeted back at him, oh, man, knowing how you feel about a subscription to The Athletic, you're not going to like this one.
Oh.
Then... proceeded to tweet at him and tell him that you got to buy a subscription to Peacock, NBC streaming service, in order to watch that game.
And what did Giannis tweet back?
If I got to pay, never mind.
What? Giannis, you should be paying for all of it. You got money, bro.
You should be paying for it.
And you live in Milwaukee, so cost of living is not high.
And if I'm Peacock, I'm immediately sending him over a password and a username and a free subscription.
He's Giannis. Then
I'm getting him to watch old episodes of The Office. Then I'm getting him to like get way into the thing. Then I'm putting him in a promo for Peacock.
Greek freak MVP.
I said I wouldn't pay for it, but now I can't stop watching. I mean, wouldn't that be a great promo?
Dude, if Giannis was like, I didn't want to pay for it, but how stupid was I? Peacock's amazing.
Now I can't stop watching it.
And then just put giant peacock feathers behind him.
Back to the actual book on Giannis. It's called The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP. And in it, there's an excerpt. So this came out this week about Jason Kidd. Okay, he was coached. coaching the Bucks in 2014.
If it's about Jason Kidd. And
let me get to it, okay? Apparently, Randy, he punished the team because one of the players had an Android phone and was messing up the team group chats.
First of all,
messing up is a strong term because I don't know that he just was making them green instead of blue. By the way, that's how it's a metaphor for your most controlling relative in your family, right? Your most controlling relative who's like, can someone please turn the air on? So now everyone's freezing because one person is like, I can't handle the regular temperature.
That Jason Kidd just asked someone to turn the air on.
And first of all, should Jason Kidd, this is what you're getting about to get at, should he be punishing anyone?
No. I mean, given his own history, should he be?
The dude had an Android phone. He didn't drive while intoxicated and crash his SUV.
All right, kid.
He didn't lay hands on anyone.
A little perspective, please, Jay Kidd.
But apparently, Jason Kidd is a hard-nosed coach.
Strict coach.
From 2014, 8-18 at the Bucks, and wasn't afraid to punish the team for one player's
mistake.
Like, look, if a player slipped in practice, according to people who play there, he would make every other player run sprints while that player who made the mistake had to watch from the sideline. That is so cold. And it's a great way to build team unity, right?
Sure. It's a great way to get everybody mad at another team member.
So, supposedly, according to Kidd, this would encourage players to hold each other accountable.
Uh-huh. While using like psychological punishments
on individual players to promote more urgent, you know, mental focus and being involved.
He's like shining a light on mental health in the wrong way.
It also made players hate other players and also hate the coach.
Yeah.
So he employs this tactic. This is how he coaches, right? Against former Bucks center Thon Maker. Remember Thon Maker?
I do.
Barely.
He is a Thon Maker.
I think he played for Cleveland in January. Well,
why didn't someone who knew, like, why didn't someone do the Thon song?
Thon.
What? Someone should come up with that.
Because he wasn't good enough. That's okay. The problem. Mm-hmm. All right. So he was using an Android phone instead of an iPhone, which, bro, this one I kind of get. I mean, Thon Maker.
You know.
I'm shocked Thon Maker had a smartphone at all. Let me just say that.
Like, I would assume that Thon Maker, hey, man, can you get call me on your Nokia Pebble?
He's like, I can't do photos on my phone, and then flips it open. You're like, is that from Breaking Bad? Is that from a drawer?
Is that a burner? Like, no one should look at Thon Maker's phone and say the phrase, is that a burner?
Speaking of Breaking Bad, thoughts and prayers to Bob Odenkirk,
who is getting more stable. So
good. At one point, center Thon Maker didn't have an iPhone, messing up the team's blue bubble chat. The book excerpt read, Kidd was upset about it, made the team run because Kidd felt that Maker was not getting an iPhone. That was an example of the team not being united. Come on, man.
I'm sorry, I kind of agree with this. Get an iPhone, bro. You're Thon Maker.
There is something,
make one.
There is something beautiful about an all blue,
yeah,
an all blue text chain.
Come on.
I'm always like, who's got the?
Who doesn't have the iPhone?
Who on this long chain doesn't have
this
it?
Green.
And I'm sure.
I see you, Jason Kidd.
I'm sure Jason Kidd took a while to try and figure out who it was. The Mavs think. Okay, so he was. It was the Bucks. They're green.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he. I don't know why he wasn't cool with the green.
Yeah, dude, you're green. Green chain. I like it.
During Kidd's four-year tenure in Milwaukee from 2014 to 2018, the Bucks went a combined 139 and 152.
Hey, for that record, I'd make Jason Kidd run while the rest of the team was watching.
Yeah, someone should have made him run laps for that.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone thank Jason Kidd from the podium the other night? No. When the Bucks won? Hey, we couldn't have done this without Jason Kidd making us run because Thon Maker didn't have an iPhone. No one mentioned that phrase.
So Jason Kidd has been hired to be the next coach of the Dallas Mavericks. That's what you have to look forward to, Luca.
You better trade
in that Samsung Galaxy, Chris Stapps.
That's right.
Unless you want to run laps.
Chris Stapps, run the laps.
You got to get right.
That's right.
I think Jason Kidd should buy the team iPhone 8s just for text chains.
Small iPhone 8s that in my daughter's hand would look small.
And you can use those phones for your side pieces as well. How about that? If anything, this story makes me feel bad for Thon Maker, Randy.
Someone get him an iPhone. and a subscription to Peacock.
Get him a subscription to Peacock.
Where is Thon Maker today?
I don't know, but it is kind of funny that Giannis is putting Jason Kidd on blast in his book. There's something kind of cool about that.
I do think it is great. And who's going to take Jason Kidd's side over Giannis right now?
At this point.
Giannis right now could go after Gail King and it would be cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the cred he has. He's like, start throwing flames, bro, because you're up there and no one's going to take that away from you. I love this. Let's take a break, all right?
Yes.
Should we go to a little sports update with Marco Belletti?
I want to, Randy.
Let's go to that. Again, Gar Reines coming up at the top of hour three in studio. When we come back, we're going to talk about this this mural, this Space Jam mural in Cleveland that got defamed. What happened? We'll get to it. But sports update right now, Marco Belletti. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Randy and Jason Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Robotic yet perfect. Sklar Brothers here. Gar Reines is in the house, the batting stance guy.
And he's got his nephew here.
His nephew is the biggest Padres fan ever. I love this kid.
He's phenomenal.
A lot of energy in the studio. Very excited. So he'll be topping next hour. Howard Balzer, we're going to talk about NFL at the end of the show. We got a couple of takes we want to get to.
Got some tweets. Surveillance. By the way, great, great Twitter handle.
S-I-R,
love then it. Valence.
Perfect.
At Sklar Brothers, I really hate when someone messes up my group chats. Regards, Jeffrey Toobin. All right.
Hang on a second.
All right.
Toobin. Toobin.
She's a Toobin.
Oh, my God. The tubes. Fantastic. San Francisco band, by the way.
I needed that Android phone for help reciting the alphabet. Signed, Tony La Russa. All right. Maybe I needed it help.
Jay, you needed it. Would you fall asleep at a stoplight there, Jay? For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
R-S-T-U-V. V-Z.
Oh, man. I think he...
X-Y-X-Z.
Oh, Jesus. You know, Tony La Russa, in the middle of reciting the alphabet, tried to call the bullpen. He picked up his phone and called to have somebody start warming up.
R-S-T-U-V. V-Z.
R-S-T-U-V.
T-U-V. X-Y-X-Z.
Yep. X-Y-X-Z.
That's how we learned the alphabet.
Wooden laconic. You guys should make Garrett Ritt runs some parking lot laps for still using that rotary phone in the back row of the studio.
He does have a mobile rotary.
He has a mobile rotary phone. Give him a break.
Garrett and James doing a great job today. By
thanks,
the by.
Boys. You guys are doing great.
Making game it on. Fun. Making it enjoyable. All right, should we get into this?
Battle Hawks.
Let's do it.
Battle Hawks.
So the new Space Jam is out.
Yeah,
I
and saw you saw it.
It.
What'd you think, James?
With my daughter. I was kind of psyched she was into it.
This was Jay's review to me about the new Space Jam.
I'm surprised at how in a few parts of it I kind of liked it.
Is that a ringing endorsement?
I give it 5 stars.
You did not give it 5 stars.
I didn't hate it all the way through, and I did fall asleep once during it.
Instant classic.
Yeah, it's the Uncle Drew of basketball movies.
Come on.
I thought it was
true
okay.
Assessment.
So obviously anything Don Cheadle's in, I think he should always play the character he played in Boogie Nights.
Thank you.
In all kids' movies.
Thank you.
So
it's like an edge to him.
The desperation. He
the
wants
edge.
To make it happen. He's just trying to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of has that edge in this.
Does
and
he?
I like him. I like that he's in this. I thought LeBron was a pretty good actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's going to have to be a good actor when he acts like he's happy to be playing with Russ Westbrook.
I agree.
So his acting skills weren't bad.
Well, listen, I'll just say this, that was your assessment, but it inspired someone in his hometown of Akron, an artist, Shardae Slater, to create what I consider to be a very beautiful mural.
In Akron.
On the side of a building close to LeBron's old high school.
There you go.
A mural of LeBron and a handful of Looney Tune characters behind him. And no, she did not include a shirtless J.R. Smith.
Throwing his cell phone or someone else's cell phone into
a construction site. Okay. Although that would have been great. And not knowing the score of the game. Like, that's in on J.R. Smith's
get that
face.
Rebound. There's only 1 second left. Pull it back out.
Pull it back out. No need to go right back up with that. No, it's LeBron and a handful of classic Looney Tunes characters behind his giant face as he holds a basketball.
It's beautiful, a beautiful mural, yes.
Beautifully done mural on the side of a building, and it's enormous. And in a display of the sort of contentious at times, somehow difficult, sometimes difficult relationship between LeBron and his hometown.
Mm-hmm. And all of Ohio, really.
It was recently vandalized. Someone wrote on the mural in giant red letters, L.A. Flop.
Mm-hmm.
And painted a red clown nose on LeBron. Now, hang on a second.
First of all, it's Space Jam, not Patch Adams 2. Let's call it like it is.
So that doesn't really work. And you're calling him a clown? Even though he brought Cleveland a championship, your only championship? Then he brought the Lakers a championship? That's not a clown.
Is it a flop, too? You can't really call it a flop when he gave the Lakers a championship.
Cleveland!
I mean, if you're going to... And I don't want to tell you how to, you got to step your graffiti game up, mm-hmm. but I'm going to tell you this is what you should. Maybe spray paint the Lakers logo with the words hometown hero in quotes on it. That's a zing.
That's a little bit of a zing.
That's at least thoughtful. Okay. Maybe spray paint Tokyo 2020 Olympic champion over it in quotes. That's funny.
I give that credit.
He didn't show up.
He could have definitely made this team better.
LeBron and KD.
Slightly better than Zach LaVine.
And KD.
Who I still contend might be the lead singer of Maroon 5.
If you're going to tag this beautiful mural by this artist, Sade.
You dropped the graffiti ball.
You dropped it. You dropped it. You know what? Your tag is a flop.
Akron flop. I'm going to tag your tag. Akron flop, bro.
Don't drop the graffiti ball. Maybe this LA flop tag is about how that person thinks LeBron flops too much and draws fouls. Is that what it is? I'm trying to decipher it. It's LeBron, not Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ask Pat Bev if that's accurate.
Yeah. He'll tell you.
He'll clown you if it is. All right. He was waiting for a mural of Chris Paul to show up in downtown Phoenix so he could write Phoenix flop. P-H-P-H.
P-H-L-O-P.
P-H-L. Phoenix flop. That works.
That's a good tag. That's a good tag because they didn't win.
They didn't win. The Suns kind of flopped in the finals. Chris Paul, who's amazing at drawing fouls, gets the rap of being a flopper.
Phoenix flop.
Phoenix flop. Which, by the way, the Phoenix flop could be a great name for the Phoenix WNBA team.
Or a dance that's created in Phoenix.
The Phoenix flop.
Come on, y'all. Phoenix flop.
And it's like so hot. You get sprayed with misters as you're just waving. Come on, y'all. Do the Phoenix flop. I'm not a huge graffiti guy unless it's on a 1980s subway car in the Bronx and the graffiti itself is better looking.
That's the art.
Okay. I'm not a big graffiti. I'm not like, hey, look at that nice clean wall over there. Let's tag it. I don't love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly don't like to see graffiti on a Looney Tunes mural of LeBron near his old school in his hometown.
No.
I guess maybe the most surprising thing here is that there is still an underneath smoldering anger in Eastern Ohio.
Over LeBron.
Yeah.
It's like put schools there. He's done so much work.
Right?
Don Cheadle, the villain in Space Jam 2, he said in the movie, you broke Cleveland's heart twice.
Dude, maybe that stoked the fires. Like everybody was cool until Cheadle brought it up in Space Jam 2 again. So Space Jam 2 could be to blame for the renewed anti-LeBron James sentiment in Cleveland or in Akron. What do you think, Jay?
Like, I don't think they forgot. They needed the movie for that to happen.
No, but maybe they were like, after LeBron left and went and won the championship with the Lakers.
You can't complain.
You cannot complain.
He turned Cleveland into Believeland.
Okay, it's like Cardinals fans can't complain about how bad the baseball Cardinals are right now or how mediocre they are.
Because of 2011.
2011 happened. You can never
complain. As long as you are alive and you witnessed 2011, you got to shut up.
Like people in Akron forgot about LeBron. They were focused on Baker Mayfield and Donovan Peoples-Jones and the possibility of the Cleveland Browns winning this year.
No.
They're focused on the name change from the Indians to the Guardians. And then comes Space Jam 2, just digging up dirt.
I don't know, man.
Right?
No.
Reminding the city how LeBron did them dirty twice. I don't know, Jay. So congratulations, Space Jam. Space Jam 2, you inspired both the mural and its vandalization.
I don't know about that. I got to disagree with you.
Here's the quote. I'm going to give you the quote from the artist on if she could fix it. Since it was spray paint and you can't just...
You can't take it off.
You have to actually
paint
over
it. Yes.
This is her quote. She said, quote, it's fixable. It's just, oh my God, I'm trying to keep positive. This could be described the way people in Cleveland feel about the Cavaliers.
It's fixable. But it's just, oh my God, I'm trying to keep positive.
Although some things aren't fixable no matter how hard you try. Although I would argue,
Evan Mobley.
That's maybe
to the Cavaliers.
Answer.
You got hope now.
Evan Mobley.
You're painting over the mural that is the Cavaliers.
You're painting over the mural that was the Cavaliers, and now this is where you're at.
Look, don't vandalize stuff. Vandalize your own stuff. This person put time and effort into this thing.
It was a beautiful mural. I'm like, there's so many other things. Like, in that moment, you're like, take a blank wall.
Internet, like vandalizing a mural that someone made is like trolling someone. It is the real life, outside of social media, physical trolling of somebody's work.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Not a fan.
Not a fan, but are you less of a fan of the vandalization than Space Jam 2, Jay? I mean, Space Jam 2 got a ton of heat for not being good. Can you understand the heat that it got?
Carlin Prescott at Sklar Brothers. We hate that Space Jam 2 is competing with us. Signed Godfather 3 and Caddyshack 2.
Okay, so that's what they felt about it.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
Godfather 3 and Caddyshack 2. That's what they said with Space Jam 2. But that infers that Space Jam 1 was such
a masterpiece
and such a
classic.
That
Space Jam 2 would let you down so much.
Why destroy it? Who loves Space Jam 1 so much and said, listen, don't destroy it.
Murray.
There you go.
There's your Caddyshack connection right there.
That is your Caddyshack.
All right, let's wrap up hour number two.
Hour two in the books.
We only got one more hour, and then we're headed into the weekend. A beautiful weekend.
And then we'll be back, because Olympics all weekend. We'll be back next week to talk about it. I'm so excited. But Gar Reines on the other side of this break, in studio, the batting stance guy. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. We're having so much fun. Thank you guys for coming along for the ride. One more hour. Stay with us.